Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to Scripture Adventures, where we seek the wisdom of God like silver and search for it like hidden treasure. In today's special episode, we're talking about the true meaning of woman. We live in a world that constantly tells us who we are, what we should value, and how we should define ourselves. Social media, our environments, and even well-meaning people often reduce our worth to our appearance, our achievements, our roles, or our relationships. But what does God say about women? What was his original design and intention when he first spoke about womankind? I want to be clear for a second. This isn't an episode pushing feminism or even rallying for women's rights. This is about discovering God's divine intent for our lives as women. It's about standing confidently in his will, under his authority, and walking in the identity he authored for us. It's about grace, mercy, and wisdom, not activism. So today, we're going back to the very beginning, to God's first words about woman, to uncover the breathtaking truth of how he sees us. To do that, we have to look at the difference between the world's view and God's view. You see, the world often says that women can be emotional, that they're secondary, or possibly that they're meant to be dominated or objectified. But God says something entirely different. Let's look at Genesis 2:18, where God speaks his first words about woman. The Lord God said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." For centuries, the word helper has kind of been misunderstood and even misused to somehow diminish women. But when we dig into the original Hebrew, we discover something powerful. The phrase ezer kenegdu appears only twice in Scripture, and both times is in Genesis 2. In Genesis 2:18, "I will make a helper suitable for him," ezer kenegdu. And in Genesis 2:20, "For Adam, no suitable helper was found," again, ezer kenegdu was used. This phrase is unique, used only to describe the woman God created. Nowhere else in Scripture can I find where God combined these words. To me, that makes them profoundly significant and worth looking into. So what does ezer mean? It means a powerful ally, but it doesn't suggest that it's an assistant status or inferior. It means help, but of the strongest kind. It's used in the Old Testament approximately 21 times, and over 15 of those, it refers to God himself as our helper. Look at Psalms 46:1. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help, ezer, in trouble." And then Psalms 121:1-2. "I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help, ezer, come from? My help comes from the Lord." You see, when God calls woman an ezer, he uses the same word that describes his own role as rescuer, sustainer, and defender. Here are some other places in Scripture where ezer refers to God as our help. Exodus 18:4, Deuteronomy 33:7, 33:26, and 33:29, Psalms 22:33-20, 70:5, 89:19, 115:9-10-11, 124:8, and 146:5, Hosea 13:9, 1 Chronicles 12:18. Clearly, ezer is not weak. It's a title of strength, presence, and divine power. We also see ezer speaking of a strength in battle in Deuteronomy, rescue and deliverance in the Psalms and Hosea, essential support again in the Psalms, and a life-saving intervention in the Exodus and the Psalms. It's important to understand the meaning of the words used. So let's look at Kenenigdu. This word means corresponding to him or face-to-face with him. What does that convey to us? To me, it conveys equality, equal in value and purpose. It conveys complementary, uniquely matched, and it conveys partnership, working together, not in competition. So when we put it together, Ezer Kenigdu means a woman is a powerful, life-giving ally who stands face to face with man as his equal partner and complement. Sister, that's powerful. Let's look at something else that I found interesting. Notice that the first time God said something wasn't good was before sin even entered the world. What wasn't good? Man's aloneness. This teaches us that woman was not an afterthought. She was the intentional solution to an identified need by God. And woman was not optional. She is essential to God's good and perfect design. So, what does all of this mean for us today? It means you are not secondary. God didn't create you as a tag-along or as an afterthought. He created you as an Ezer, a powerful partner, not a background character. It means your strength is God-given. Your intuition, your nurturing, your discernment, your beauty, your resilience, they're not flaws. They reflect God's own help-giving nature. It means you stand eye to eye. Remember, Kenigdu means you stand face to face, not above or beneath, but alongside. But this doesn't mean that we undo godly submission or order. It actually reveals the dignity behind God's design of submission. You see, a woman who knows her place in the kingdom doesn't have to fight for her place in the world. And it means you are essential, not optional. You aren't an accessory to someone else's calling or life. When you walk in God's wisdom and grace, your presence is a necessary part of His kingdom purposes, and that matters. And we also have to remember that the enemy lies, and he twists the truth of God. He whispers, "You're just a helper. You're small. You're silent. You're replaceable." But God declares, "You are Ezer Kenigdu, strong like me, vital like me, image bearer of my strength and compassion." The enemy has twisted God's words, trying to make women feel weak. But God's original intent was to honor women with one of His own names. So we start living as Ezer Kenigdu. We embrace our strength. Your strength doesn't need to be silenced. It needs to be surrendered to the Lord, rooted in grace and used for good. You stand confidently. You don't need to shrink back. You were designed to stand strong with humility, not pride. We reject the world's labels. You are not defined by your looks, your age, your status, or your story. You are defined by the God who created you as Ezer Kenigdu. And we use our voice. God didn't create us to be voiceless, but He did call us to speak with wisdom, not noise, and to influence, not impress. So as we conclude, I hope that you understand that you are not the world's version of woman. You are not weak. You are not secondary. You are not only an image or insignificant. You are God's Ezer Kenigdu, His powerful ally, His image bearer, His essential masterpiece. So when someone tries to make you feel small, or when you're feeling inadequate all on your own, remind your soul, "I'm not just a helper. I'm an Ezer Kenigdu. I was not an afterthought. I am part of God's perfect design. And I am not weak. I reflect the strength of my Creator." Friend, I hope you walk in that truth. I hope you live in that identity. You are exactly who God created you to be, and that is more than enough. Will you pray with me? Lord, help us see ourselves as you see us, created with purpose and strength, fashioned in your image. Guide our steps, our hearts, and our words. Let grace and wisdom mark our conversations, and may our lives reflect your love. Let us walk in truth, never forgetting that we are your daughters. Made with intention, covered in mercy, and called to reflect your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.